Right now, it's time for the Chatham County Roundup, presented by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. And we've got Aaron Hall right here to help us out with Chatham County Roundup today. As always, Aaron, how's it going?
Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm a little out of breath. I've never been late for the Chatham County Roundup, but I was cutting it a little close.
You're here
today.
Now.
I am. And, you know,
you're never late for the chat. You're never late for a show that you host.
Oh,
right.
See,
or co-host or whatever. As long as if you're not here, then you're not late.
The show can't go on. Yeah. So as I was driving here and, you know, for once, I don't have the radio on and I usually listen to your show. But I didn't drive the radio on today because I wanted to think about things. So as I was maintaining the speed limit between Pittsburgh.
Oh, of course.
And
of course.
Chapel
yes.
Hill,
it's very important to maintain that speed limit.
I was thinking about the two events over the past 24 hours that I've kind of been a part of. Earlier today, I was looking at a space for an event next week, and what came to me was I saw two factions of community. They're coming together, and this is how you build community. Some bumps, some bruises, but the one I was at earlier today is an event for next Wednesday. It is the Orange County Correctional and the Orange County Chapel Hill Reentry Program that is having an event at the Hargrave Center from 10 to 1. Obama put in place to recognize people reentering society after incarceration. So I was there early getting ready to set up for that for next week. And I said, oh, what a beautiful thing. And last night I saw communities come together as well. And as I welcome on the microphone our guest, Mr. Randy Voller, who was also there last night. Randy, welcome to Chatham County Roundup.
Randy, how's it going?
Always.
Welcome back.
It's great to be here, Aaron. You know, a wizard is never late. They always arrive just when they intend
to. Just when they intend
to,
yeah.
You guys just waxing poetic today.
That was entirely your line. Just yes. Go with it.
He knows the line.
You guys didn't tell me, rehearse some stuff. Oh, we're just going with this. So last night, again, in Chatham County, we had a commissioner meeting. I think on TajTalk.com you can get all 3 hours worth of all 63 people who waited to talk about the issue as to whether or not the Confederate statue that's at the Circle in Pittsburgh.
And just FYI, Sam Burmistaz from WCHL is out there going through all of those conversations and all of those speeches right now. We're going to have a lot more, a full report on this meeting coming up, I think, tomorrow morning.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah.
And as you well know, Aaron, it's not going to be the last time it's having
no.
conversation
yeah.
at all. So, Randy, break it down for us like only you can. What's happening in Pittsburgh and what's going on around the statue?
Well, during my time as mayor, people would frequently ask about the statue, Aaron, and that was always one of those issues that you knew that you were, you know, kind of opening Pandora's box or you might be hitting a hornet's nest. But as I think that we've moved into different values and thoughts in the 21st century and how people view these symbols, and the statue is, in essence, a symbol, I think it's time to have that dialogue. And last night was the beginning of that dialogue. I spoke to the town board in August of 2017 and said, hey, with what's happening in Charlottesville and what was happening at Durham, I said, we need to kind of convene these community dialogues to talk about the future of this statue that sits on Jefferson Davis Highway right in front of the historic Pittsburgh Courthouse. So I think the first issue going on here is the location. You know, there's also a discussion about what these statues meant. You know, should they have been put up in the first place? The whole idea of when they went up in Jim Crow era and what they were trying to do in the Lost Cause. But, you know, regardless of what you might think of the statue, the idea that it sits at the seat of justice mm-hmm. is the beginning point of the dialogue.
There were lots of comments last night. I spoke to some, interviewed some folks directly, and when people say, and I have to take people at their word. Now, I have my own very personal feelings about the statue and the Confederate flag, but when people say, hey, I have to take no hate in this, it is my heritage, I don't mean anything racist or anything that's supporting slavery. I have to take them at their word. What do you say to that when people say, hey, I'm not about that at all?
Well, I think nobody wants to say that they actually, unless you're right out there as kind of an open bigot or racist, right? But most people, I think, have a hard time, you know, looking at themselves and realizing that, hey, they may have some biases. There may be something going on there. And I have no doubt that when people are thinking about the past or connection to relatives who may have fought in this conflict, that they're not viewing it in the same way as, let's say, the indigenous black community might view it, for instance, of which you and I, you know, I know a lot of your family members who've been down there for quite a long time. As a first-generation German on my side, from my dad, I look at it a little differently because when I worked down east, I would see these flags where it would be a Confederate battle flag on a cotton field down in Brunswick County, for instance, and it would say, heritage, not hate. And it would get me thinking. I was a younger man at the time. I was in my early 30s when I was doing this job. And I would go talk to these farmers and I'd say, what does that mean to you? As a German, I don't think I could put out a swastika or an Iron Cross in my front yard and say, heritage, not hate, without engendering a pretty active and robust dialogue. And so I said, there's a heritage part of it, but within the heritage, there's also some other things to unpack.
Aaron?
I think that's a really, well, two really important points in there. First is the idea of heritage, not hate, implies that it has to be one or the other.
Exactly.
And I think what you're saying is absolutely correct, that it can and historically is both, right? And I think the other important point, and this is getting back, Aaron, to your point about taking people at their word, it's one thing for someone to fly the Confederate flag or wear it or stick the bumper sticker on their car and say, this is what it means to me. But they don't and they can't do that in a vacuum. If you, and Randy, you said it with the swastika, if you go out and fly a swastika flag or any flag of any symbol that is generally recognized as being a particular thing and meaning a particular thing, you absolutely can. You're totally free to say, oh, that's what it means for everyone else in the world, but this is the specific thing that it means to me. You can do that, but when you then go out and wave that flag or put that bumper sticker on your car, you're not sending the message that it means to you. You're sending the message that it means to everybody else.
Well, let's give you another symbol. So when you see a rainbow sticker now, a lot
exactly.
of people say, oh, that stands for the LGBTQ community, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking of leprechauns.
Right.
But when I grew up and I saw a rainbow, I was thinking of all those cartoons and things that were send to me like, oh, at the end of the rainbow, there's a pot of gold.
Yeah, which means that the symbol changes its meaning over time and over history with the discussion.
And which, to the point of the emblem of the swastika, you know, that was a Kushite and Kemetic emblem for
thousands of years. Yeah, exactly.
And it took someone 80 years to completely change that.
Less than 80 years,
right.
Like 10 years, and now it doesn't mean that anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, as we know, back to the statue, this is not the last conversation, and Randy, since you are our political guy, will you say how the commissioners ended the meeting, as I just saw Jim Crawford on my way here? How did they leave it? I can answer it, but I like for the smart people to answer it.
Well, that's a nice thing for you to say, but based on what I observed, they referred it to their attorney to actually give them a legal opinion on what their options are vis-a-vis the context of the law that the General Assembly passed. What our newspaper covered and others have mentioned is that there's a bill that Robert Reeves, for instance, our rep, is a co-sponsor, to eliminate that law and let local communities make their own decisions on these monuments and monumentation. But right now, we're operating under the same law that applied to Silent Sam and Chapel Hill. And consequently, you can't do certain things without running afoul of the law. Right. In this particular case, what they're saying is that this was a gift by the United Daughters of Confederacy, or they owned it and essentially they leased it for a dollar or whatever the agreement was in 1907. So technically speaking, it's still owned by the Daughters of Confederacy. And consequently, that's a little different than saying it's owned by the county.
Mm-hmm.
So much like in Winston-Salem, where that property went from public to private, which then allowed the city to step in and invoke the public safety provision, they were able to remove that statue. This one might fall under that, but they're going to wait to get the opinion back from their attorney, Aaron.
Did you get the sense from the outcome of the meeting that, there's some uncertainty over what's allowed under the law, but did you get the sense that if the commissioners knew they could, they would take it down?
Well, I think that there's been a sense that this location is problematic. Again, you have the Justice Center behind it and this historic courthouse. And we've come to a point where having this type of symbol in a modern town, you know, with Chatham Park coming down and other things, it's perhaps time to do what General Lee said, which is the best way to honor our dead is through the cemetery. And mm-hmm. if you read his own words, which we published in Chatham County Line, from his own biographer and his and his own letters, he says cemeteries. He didn't want monumentation. He didn't want statues to him. So I think if it were moved to a more appropriate location and was given the respect so that all parties didn't feel that they were hurt in the process, mm-hmm. or I think ultimately you could get to a point of healing.
That's a mouthful, and we'll continue to have this conversation. We'll probably have to have some more conversations in Chatham County as well. We have people who are responding as we speak, so at least people are still engaged. There is some other happenings in our area where, as the headline says, four face bribery charges, three GOP bigwigs, two from Chatham. What is that?
Well, as you know, Greg Lindbergh, who's a billionaire, has been linked to essentially bribery involving the Republican Department of Insurance head, Mike Causey. But this thing has tentacles going all over the place. And in Chatham County, which seems to be kind of the epicenter for all kinds of these crazy things.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah.
It is the epicenter of the entire state,
well,
right?
Well, it kind of feels awesome. Like
you're between Charlotte and Raleigh
right.
and Durham. And
we are the middle.
So it's the middle, and at some point you got to come
might
down.
Might as well.
We are
yeah.
the exact middle, Aaron, and so it's true. So Greg Lindbergh gave a $100,000 contribution to the Chatham County Republican Party in April of 2018, which then got the attention of local activists and good government types in the Democratic Party, because that was the single biggest contribution that we could verify in the history of the state to a county party unit. I mean, people don't typically stroke checks to $100,000 of the Orange County Republican or Democratic Party or Durham or anything. And that started a chain of events where we started looking at it, and it turned out that the chairman, Palermo, who lives up in Farington, he had been hired to go to work for Eli Global, and he was controlling this money, so we weren't quite sure what this money was for. And then in October, subpoenas came from the grand jury in Charlotte.
Go back a second. Eli Global is Lindbergh's firm, right?
Eli yeah. Global is Lindbergh's firm, yes. And we passed resolutions, or the Democratic Party did, requesting that all of this money that had, you know, been built up from Lindbergh and his companies in the local Republican Party and in the state Republican Democratic Party should just be given to charity. Right? We want it out. The only one that didn't touch any of this is a Chatham County Democratic Party. And the headline obviously references that out of their four biggest donors in Chatham, three of them are indicted. Greg Lindbergh was indicted, John Gray was indicted, and John Palmero. I mean, Palmero, that's actually a pretty significant happening.
And I welcome anyone from the Republican Party who wants to contact me to come on Chatham County Roundup and continue this conversation. I'm all about the discuss, the define, and deliver. But these things, that is what this platform is for. So what is the next step with that, Randy?
Well, they've all lawyered up. And, you know, I think the Wall Street Journal, the News and Observer, the Charlotte Observer, the WNC, everyone is covering this story because the money was given to so many places and also went into what's called independent expenditure groups, which, are somewhat dark money groups where money was put in these groups in order to campaign for Wayne Goodwin, who's actually the Democratic chair. You know, when he was running in 2016, they went into a committee for Dan Forrest, who's lieutenant governor, and he has aspirations to run for governor. I mean, so you're talking about millions of dollars. I think at the latest, it's up to $7 million. Almost most of it, other than the $750,000 that hit the Democratic Party of the state, went to the Republicans, and it's caused disarray. I mean, Dallas Woodhouse is resigned. Mm-hmm. Robin Hayes, former congressman, he's indicted, he's out. I mean, on the heels of this 9th congressional district mess, this is a real problem.
Yeah.
I mean,
I should know that the 9th congressional district is separate. Like, these are two huge things that are going on kind of independently of each other in the same place at the same time.
They're independent, except I was able to find that some of these same indicted donors did give to Mark Harris.
Right, right.
So there is a little bit
there's
of
an overlap.
Yes.
But yeah.
The money finds a way to overlap.
Money finds a way. That could be a song.
Yes, yeah. That
so
could be.
As we are almost at the midpoint of 2019, things are certainly heating up, and as we make our way into 2020, there'll be a lot more politics to talk about. There'll be a lot more about the statue to talk about. And for sure, let us all continue to conduct ourselves as we are human beings, the highest reasoning adults, and to treat one another with love, kindness, and compassion, even if we disagree and agree to disagree and be cool to one
here.
Another. Yeah.
And that has been the Chatham County Roundup, made possible by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story set somewhere, theirs is right here. Find them online at weaverstreetrealty.com. Aaron Hall, Randy Voller, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.